Well, we thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy to us. I'm sure thankful He knocked on my heart's door. I'm thankful that He still does. I'd like to get a verse in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And the 24th verse, 1 Corinthians 9 and 24. He says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I'd like for us to consider these verses a little bit this morning. Paul is likened the Christian life to like running a race. And here he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" So they all run that's going in a race, but one receiveth the prize. And the good news this morning for us, it's not just one person receiving the prize. That'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Worldwide, one person received the prize. That's discouraging to start off with. Thank you. We can all receive the prize. That's eternal life, I believe. And I believe it's also blessings in this life. We get, the Lord blesses those, but we, if we're going to receive the prize, we've got to run. We've got to run in the race. We've got to start off in the race. And the Lord wants us all to be in the race. And He says, "So run that you may obtain." So we want to run, not just to run, but we want to run in such a way that we're able to obtain. And through this message, this is all with an understanding that God is going to help us. The Lord is going to help us to run. He's going to help us to fight a good fight and to finish our course. So it's not just us by ourselves all together. The Lord has promised to be with us and to help us. And we cannot run successfully without His help and without His blessing. But He mentions here, He said, "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." I don't know how much you're familiar with sports or been around sports, but they work hard at it. They give themselves to it. They practice, and they practice, and they practice. They gain experience. And that's what he's saying here. They're temperate. They watch about every aspect of their life. They watch their they're eating, they watch their where they spend their time, because they've got the goal in mind. They're wanting to win the race. And so they lay aside these other things that would hinder them. They set them aside so that they can run a good race, so they could win. But it says a corruptible crown. He says they do it. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They get a trophy. They get some kind of recognition, acknowledgement for their accomplishment. But Paul said, we're not running for a corruptible crown. We're running for an incorruptible. That's a heavenly treasure. It's something that's from God. In order to win that, we've got to get in the race. We've got to run. In verse 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Take some discipline on our part. That's what he's saying. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Once again, the Lord will help us to do that. The Lord can help us to bring our bodies under subjection. And he said, he mentioned up there earlier, as temperate in all things. That temperate means not excessive. Another scripture came to my mind, said, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. In other words, don't get over encumbered, over involved with things that we don't need to be, some things we don't need to be involved with at all. But life has a way of over involving us and kind of drawing us into, and it can be a distraction and a hindrance to us. And we got to remember, we're running, we want to run the Christian race. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So we want to run in a way that we're able to obtain and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to also get Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus ran a good race, didn't he? He won the prize. He won his race. And he's able to help us. But it says to lay aside every weight, the things that would encumber us, the things that would slow us down, the things that would bog us down. We've got to be willing to lay some things aside and to run the race that is set before us. And I believe the Holy Spirit is faithful to us, to talk to us, to help us to recognize when we're getting too involved with something that's distracting us, or we're spending too much time with something that's distracting us. The Holy Spirit is faithful. If we'll listen and hear, He'll speak to us and put His finger on things that we need to draw back from. I'm not talking about sinful things. I'm talking about lawful things that we may need to draw back from to be able to run a good race and be what God is calling us to be. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running with patience. Boy, that's a message within itself. Life is not a 100-yard dash. It's not a 40-yard dash. We've got to learn how to run with patience. We want to be patient with who? The Lord? Do we have to be patient with the Lord? We do. When we pray and we seek Him, we don't want to get discouraged just because we don't get the answer the first day. It said Daniel prayed. He was looking to God. It was 3 weeks fasting and praying, looked to the Lord before His answer came. Well, sometimes ours can take some time too. Be patient with the Lord. He is working. He's trying to help. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to, and we need to be patient with Him. We need to be patient with our fellow man. We don't all see the same way. We don't all do the same things. We all have weaknesses. We all have strengths. And it's important for us to be patient with one another. Patient with our children. Patient with our families. That's so important and valuable today, to run the race of patience. And we also need to be patient with ourselves. Sometimes we can be too hard on us, too hard on ourselves. We're growing too. We're growing in knowledge. We're growing in understanding. And we need to be patient with ourselves. But we want to stay in the race. We want to keep running. We don't want to quit. If we quit, we won't gain the prize. That's automatic. If we give up in the race, if we quit, we get discouraged, and we toss in the towel, so to speak, we won't gain the prize if we quit. He said to so run. Run in such a way that we can obtain. I want to get... There's a verse in Galatians, the 2nd chapter. Galatians 2nd chapter in the 1st verse. He said, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, this is Paul speaking, with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, the Lord had given Paul many things, but he recognized that he was human, that he could have been off in some of what he was preaching and teaching. And so he conferred with those that were in reputation. In other words, he conferred with the apostles. He went up by revelation. Somehow God revealed to him to go to Jerusalem. But he said he conferred with them privately. And I think about how important fellowship is for us. Fellowship. Being able to share with one another what God is working with us on and what He's working with us through. It kind of gives us an equilibrium. If I'm just on my own and trying to do it on my own and I'm isolated by myself, it's easy for me to get diverted in so many different directions. And I want to say there are so many... This one Bible, there are so many different ideas. There are so many in the world today. One Bible and so many different... But I do believe that we need fellowship with those that we know that are serving the Lord to the best of their knowledge, to be able to share with one another what God... And that's what Paul did. He talked to them about what he was preaching and what God was speaking to him about. And fellowship is very important for us. We need each other. We need one another's. We need testimonies. We need personal testimonies are so important. It gives kind of an equilibrium. It helps balance us out. I think about that with a husband and wife. Sometimes it's like opposites attract to attract. But I know sometimes I may have strengths in one place and my wife's got strengths in another, but we can together, if we learn how to work together and to honor one another and respect one another's gifts and talents, then I'm the better. I learn. And it tempers me, and it helps me to have greater strength and greater, just different, being able to hear different perspective of something gives me something to consider. I know sometimes one verse of the Bible you can get 20 different things out of. I've had times where the Lord's given me something out of a verse, and then later it's just like something I didn't see before opens up, and oh, that verse is teaching that too. But the Lord can help us and balance us, and I believe we need to be able to hear one another and communicate one to another and be able to open our hearts up to one another. I believe those things are important. In connection with this is this scripture in Galatians again in the 5th chapter in verse 1. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He's talking about the law. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." You know, that's pretty serious language here that Paul's using. They were bringing parts of the law back into the gospel. He says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, in these verses, he told them they were running well at one point. They were running the Christian life. They were running in the Christian race. But there were some persuasions that came their way. There were some influences there that caused them to take on some things that the Lord didn't want them to take on. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In other words, they got out of bounds. Have you heard of out of bounds? All the games, about everything I know, there's always lines, there's always rules. Basketball, football, when you're out of bounds, it stops. The game stops. And the scriptures provide, there's another place that said we have to do it lawfully. That's why it's important to study the Bible, to study the scriptures that I'm endeavoring to please God and to run by the rules that He's given. Not by my rules. I can't run by my rules. We've got to run by the rules that the Lord has given. That's part of running a good race, part of running well, being responsive and mindful of the marks that God has given to us. But there were some persuasion and influences that had come in, and it was hindering them in their running. So Lord, help us today. Help us to be able to recognize things that would be a hindrance to the people of God, that would be a hindrance to us. I believe it's important because there's many, many influences in the world today that are at work. Many influences, many persuasions, many different thoughts and ideas. Lord, help us today. One last thought I want to share with us. I had a reading about this boy, but I couldn't find it. I didn't look very hard because I didn't want to waste all my time. But I've read it before, but it's a touching story about a little boy that's running the race. His father's in the crowd. And the boy's running good. He's running. He gets in the lead. He's running. He's so excited. He's giving it all that he's got. And there's a little dip in where he's running, and he hits that dip and it throws him out of step, and he falls head over heels, and he's ashamed, embarrassed, and he looks up at his father in the crowd. His father says, get up. Keep running. He runs again. He gets up and he runs again. And he's running and really good. And lo and behold, he falls a second time. Great humiliation. The whole crowd's looking. And he looks at his father, and his father says, get up. So he gets up, starts running. He falls again. This time there's no chance of him to win. He thinks it's all over. And he's not in a big hurry to get back up. Until he looks in the crowd. Sees his father once again. And his father tells him he can do it. He gets up in disgrace. And he finishes the race. I don't know if he was in last place or not. The crowd cheered. You know who they were cheering for? Little boy that kept getting up. Time and time again. We're going to have to do the same thing in our race. There's going to be times that we feel ashamed. Times that we're hurting. But we've got to run. I think sometimes we lift the apostles up too high. They were human. They made mistakes. We have some of them recorded. They made some failures. You know, Paul, one place him and Barnabas divided over John Mark. Because he had left them on one of their trips. It doesn't explain his point of view or. But later Paul said, bring him. He's profitable to me in the ministry. Very important for us to be patient with people, ourselves, because the Lord is. Another place is said, a smoking flax he'll not quench. He wants us to get up and keep running. As hard as that may be, sometimes it's going to be real hard. But the race is important. It's important to be running in the Christian race. And I'm thankful today the Lord can help us through all of our humanity, all of our mistakes, all of our short-sightedness. The Lord's been very gracious. But let's be encouraged this morning to run. Another aspect of running is keeping our heart in it. our affections. Keeping the first love kindled. You know, that's something we've got to work at. It's something that's not just an automatic all the time. Sometimes couples that have been married for a lot of years have to put forth some special effort. The days, the weeks, the months, the routines of life will wear us out. We'll wear our love down. Another thing that kind of came to me this morning is I believe we can run with patience. I believe we can run in rest. I know that sounds paradoxical, but I believe it's true. We can run in rest. We can run in patience. And we can win. The Lord can help us to win a crown. Pray for me. Thank you.